All right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio Podcast. This will be episode number 9, and in this episode, I will be addressing questions submitted by subscribers. As I went through the list, and it is quite a list, I will do what I can to get all the way through it. It becomes very evident that there are a lot of people out there questioning the very basic things that we have accepted as true for so long. And this is a good thing. In a minute, I'll begin to address the questions, but I want to give a shout out to a supporter who runs yourtechbench.com. Again, that's yourtechbench.com. As a matter of fact, he's provided the new recording tools that I am using. He makes monster computers. Give him a call. Go hit his website. Check him out. It's unbelievable, the boxes that they're building over there. Incredible. Anyhow, let me get my list up and let's jump right in. But I wanted to say a couple things before we get started on the questions. As I mentioned before, so many of these questions are people coming to a point where they're prepared to question things that have been accepted for so long as true. And in my daily life, what I have found is that we have been trained to ignore the mundane, the gross things, and the subtle things for that matter. But if you take the time to stop and logically disassemble these very basic daily things, you will begin to realize a few truths. As an example, I saw this thing where they were talking about role models, that, oh, finally there was a strong female role model that people could identify with, or finally there was a strong gay role model, or finally there was a strong, you know, minority role model on TV that finally these people who desperately needed a role model could identify with. So I took a look at that and I logically began to break it down. What you're looking at here is people being presented with a non-reality. Somewhere in the world, a writer invented a character and then invented the things that will make this character, so-called role model, something that they can put on film and present out to people. But if you logically look at what's going on, anyone who decides to latch onto that and use it as a role model is living in a fantasy world, because basically what they have done is latched on to a non-existent entity. There is no person in this world that is actually breathing, living, eating that matches what they are looking at. It was invented by a writer somewhere. And then they are trying to base important decisions on their life based on what someone invented. It's a non-reality. It's a fantasy situation. And so much of our world is based in this fantasy. As a matter of fact, if you even take the time to look at the idea of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, past, present, and future, you can learn something very important. For people who dwell on things that have happened yesterday, they're dwelling on things that do not exist. They have no substance. There is no there. Yesterday does not exist, period. It just doesn't. People who do the same thing for tomorrow or the future are caught in the same web. They are spending their time on something that will never be present. As they think about it, it does not exist. And chances are, if they think far enough in the future, there's a chance that they may never see that time that they are so concerned with. The truth is that the only reality that you can grasp in this lifetime is this very second. And here's the catch-22. In the time it took me to say this very second, the second I was referring to had already passed. And so in so many old religious traditions, even Christianity, back before it was kind of perverted to the point that it is now, there was meditation, there was contemplation, there were vows of silence, there were many things like this that had folks doing this very thing that I'm talking about, looking at now, this very second, which has already passed in the time that I have taken to talk about it, where they are trying to focus on the only reality that we can get our hands on, which is now. The very second that we can concentrate on, living in the now. When we start to realize the underlying truth in this idea, and we go back to our daily lives and begin to logically disassemble so many of the things we are just taking for granted, it will go a long way on helping us to understand what is true and what is not true. So much of the system of deception that we live in is based on the idea of trying to convince people that false things are true and true things are false. You know, it's a funny thing. We talk a lot about how many portions of the ruling class are Jewish. They follow Kabbalah and ancient Jewish traditions, for lack of better terms. I looked at that culture and I wanted to have a glimpse into the ruling portions of that culture today. And while I'm not speaking about the average everyday person who goes to worship at a synagogue, in my view, that's no different than someone wandering into a church to worship. They're just people who probably have no inkling about what the leadership above them is doing. But in the paper here, which I don't read incidentally, but I noticed a headline the other day and picked it up and read it, there was a story about, I think, the oldest Jewish synagogue in the country, which is in Newport, Rhode Island. I think at least the building is the oldest. One of the oldest congregations, though I think it was interrupted at one point. Anyhow, there were these two silver bells that a smith had made for the Jewish synagogue way back in the day. I think it was the 1700s. Don't quote the dates. I'm not real good with them. They were very old. And they were going to sell one of these bells to a museum, because the pair is worth $17.5 million. Well, all of a sudden, another synagogue in New York brought a lawsuit. And it was crazy because the case was finally settled, apparently. I haven't followed it. I only read the one day's news. And the judge turned it down and said, no, to New York. You can't infringe upon these people. You can't do all the things you want to. But what the New York synagogue had done, apparently, was seen the value in the silver bells and wanted to evict the complete congregation of worshipers out of the synagogue and gain access to these bells that are worth $17.5 million. And I thought, isn't that so emblematic of the leadership of people who claim to be leading people spiritually in some way? What had basically happened is one place of worship was more than willing and actually trying to get a court order to give them control over another place of worship where they would have evicted the congregation and taken control of these very old silver bells because they were worth a lot of money. And I thought, this is so much of what we see in the modern material world. This is the leadership doing this. I'm not talking about the worshipers. Though, one must wonder, if you're in that New York synagogue and you're watching your leadership do this, why do you allow it to go on? Why do you back that? Shouldn't someone at some point say, we're here to worship, to try to find a spiritual path upward? Anyhow, I thought I would mention it. Right now, I want to give a shout out to a YouTube channel which almost nobody knows about. And the reason I'm going to mention it is because this gentleman is standing up and he's fighting against the corrupt system that he perceives. And this system, in this case, the law system. The name of the YouTube channel is Rob S. First name is R-O-B, Rob. Last name is E-S-S. Rob S. is in Scotland. And for a lot of us Western folks, it may be difficult to follow a little bit of what he says because he has a thick Scottish accent. This gentleman is standing up against the court system, which I have talked about, the kind of admiralty law that has been shuffled into our midst and disguised as common law and crept into every court that we see. People should go over to that channel and look at what he's doing and look at what he's talking about. Because here is a gentleman who woke up one day, I guess, and realized that what is going on, what we take for granted, what we call basically the court system, the laws of this land, are not what they appear to be. So, there it is. So anyhow, without any further ado, let's jump into the questions and let's get on with it. And actually, I'd like to make two corrections before we jump into the questions. The value of the silver bells was 7.4. I think I was saying $17 million. And also, I know someone's going to mention it, so I will say, yes, there is a hell of a lot to know about the word and the idea of a bell. Someone is going to listen to this and they'll bring up Ba-El, but that is a heck of a lot to get into, and maybe we can cover that in a future show. Anyhow, let's do this thing. Okay, here we go. We have a number of questions. I will identify the person who posted the question, as those are publicly available, and let's do it. The first question came from, I believe it is J.S.K. Warwick, and this one is a mea culpa. He's asking me, well, I'll read him. Before the podcast launch, I recall you mentioning in an interview that you were planning to do an investigation on the possibility that FedEx planes were being repurposed for chemtrail disbursement. Here's what happened there. A longtime supporter and follower, I will call the individual Sophia, brought this to my attention. If I remember correctly, a gentleman in, I think it was the UK, had actually begun to amass photo evidence, and he had done some research and had been posting it on a website where he was demonstrating that these planes were being refitted to spray. Here's the mea culpa part of it. I had absolutely intended to go back and do this, and I had everything, the URL and what I had gathered so far, stored on a hard drive, which I lost. So when I got to Rhode Island, having done the move, I had gone back through my old videos, and I'm sure that Mr. Warwick, or Miss Warwick, is referring to a video in which I mentioned that. I saw it again, and I thought, yeah, I want to get back into this. And I went online to try to find the initial source material, and I couldn't find it. So there's where I dropped the ball, and mea culpa. But, Sophia, if you're listening, maybe you could post, if you still have a you know, a way to find the initial website. I'm sure you understand, because you're the one who found this and pointed it out to me. So there it is. All right, number two. Do you think NASA or any other space program has actually gone into space? Are any of their images of space real or legitimate, and is Hubble a hoax? And this comes to us from Willard Duke. Let me take it backwards. First of all, in my view, the Hubble is absolutely a hoax. Any large, high-tech, ground-based telescope could create the images that we see that are attributed to the Hubble. As many of you who follow me have heard me say, I do not believe we go beyond what is called low Earth orbit. I don't believe we can, and that includes machines. Which brings us to the second, or the third, the second of the three questions you asked. Are any space images real? And in my view, no, none of them are real. And the thing about images from NASA, if you pay attention to the descriptions of images that you're given, quite often you can deduce right out of the gate that they're not real. It'll be telemetry data. It'll be artist's rendering. It'll be, you know, mosaic. All these words to inform you that it is not a snapshot of any kind. So that brings us to the first question. Has NASA or any other space agency been to space? And I will categorically, and this is all, everything I will say, and this is in my view, categorically state no. What they have showed us as a description of space, and what they have showed us of things like the moonshot, have been proven beyond doubt that what we've been handed is a lie. So that leaves the door open to another possibility. That they have lied about what space actually is, that they have lied about going there and shown us constructs, basically, to make us believe that space is a vacuum or any other number of things that we all think are true when we're children and growing up. The other side of that coin is that there is something else there, maybe it's water, maybe it's Lord knows, and that they have actually been there and never shown us any of it. The problem with that is I don't have any leverage evidence or anything to base that possibility on. So what I do is I concentrate on the fact that we know that space as it has been described to us is a lie, and that they have never been there according to what we can currently see and study now. I hope I covered that. Okay, Willard. Okay, sorry, I'm trying to keep my list going here. All right, the next one posted was from Gareth Wales. Crow, great stuff as always. Can I ask, in your view, does the sun rotate in a similar manner to the moon, or does it rotate as presented by NASA. Now, this is a funny thing. Very few people understand that the moon rotates about 90 degrees over 6 hours. And I have had a camera out, and I haven't measured it exactly, but it's very close to that. And that is the description we get. And when I say rotate, imagine this. If the moon was a pizza and there was a pepperoni at 12 o'clock, over 6 hours, that pepperoni would rotate about 90 degrees. This is a true thing. We can witness it. In this time, libration also occurs, which is the moon leaning slightly forward or leaning slightly backward. Now, when I've been filming the sun, I have witnessed that the sunspots move in a way that does not seem to match what NASA is presenting in their supposed, images that they show us from. You know, they claim they have satellites all the way around the sun, which I do not accept. But what I see is the sunspots kind of rotate linearly from left to right, but quite often the prominences or the flames that would be coming off the limbs of the sun appear to rotate counterclockwise in the way I just described the moon's movement. So it's a strange thing, and I had planned to at some point do a more in-depth study of this, but to do that it requires really a full day, waking up in the morning when the sun's visible and getting stills and video as long as you can throughout the day. Moving on, our good friend Mr. Randy Bryant, who has filmed the lunar wave a couple times. All right, here we go. Crow, first and foremost, I want to thank you for your due diligence and staying the course. It means a lot to a lot of people. Thank you. We talked about a lot of different things, problems, situations, and events that happen all around us. Can you maybe shed some light and your thoughts on the resolution steps that people can take to make the ascension of knowledge or the ascension to a higher level of spirituality? Okay, so let me see if that's all the question there. Okay, so the last part of that goes on to say, because at the end of the day, or at the end of our life cycle, we have to have peace and no fear to move on to the next level and in order for our energy to transfer in a positive manner. All right, so basically what Randy is asking here is what steps can the average person take to begin to spiritually get on a better path and start to climb the ladder, get on the next rung. And he closes out by talking about fear. So again, I'm going to take this backwards. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is a fantasy. Fear has no actual reality, if you can consider this in the way I'm intending. Initially, people probably had fear so that if they got in trouble, adrenaline would kick in, and that adrenaline might help them get out of trouble. What we see in the modern age is fear just leveraged to ridiculous extremes to pervert society, where everyone is made to be afraid of terrorism, global warming, any number of things, the next big bombing or plane accident or shooting, or it goes on and on and on. This is a method of control. And a good way that I always keep this in my mind is what I say to myself is fear is the mind killer and it has no reality. Now, to get back to the basis of Randy's question, what can people do to get on a higher spiritual path? The first thing you can do is to just do away with fear. That is so critically important. When people are brought into a heightened emotional state or a fearful state, they're very malleable and controllable. This is much of what media and the news is about. They leverage this truth. If you can do away with fear in your life, the way that you move forward will be a lot more beneficial. But you've got to realize that when you wake up in the morning and go through your day to the time you go to bed, the vast majority of things you're presented with in the day are going to be fantasy-based things. What are the Kardashians doing? Oh, there was a person beheaded on the other side of the planet. Oh, just any number of things which are complete, non-real, fantasy-based things will occupy your brain cycles. That's what they're designed to do, partially. So if you begin to understand not to buy into any of that, you will begin to change your life. Over the course of a year, let me back up a little bit. people have heard me say an awful lot that belief is the enemy of knowing. This is the crux of what Randy is asking and what I am talking about. If you believe a thing, the average person who believes a thing will have entered into that belief without having done any investigation to see if the thing they're about to believe in is worth believing in. For most people, this is true. But worse, once a thing is believed, for many people, it will be very, very difficult to unbelieve that thing later on. But once you believe in a thing, you will no longer see details. And this kind of gives a new view of the old saying, the devil is in the details. Once a person cannot see details, much of the system of deception we see implemented by the ruling class slides right by the vast majority of us. For those people who quit believing everything, there is real hope over an extended period of time that the way you think will change and you will again be able to see detail. And while answering Randy's question, I won't address spiritual paths. That's an individual endeavor by everyone. What I can tell you is that if you stop believing all these things put in front of you and force things to matter to a point or that you can prove in some way deserve to be believed, and you do this over the course of about a year, the way you think will change and the paths you choose to follow, including spiritual, will improve vastly. So let's keep moving here. And by the way, I should mention, you guys are probably hearing my dog in the background. He's got a bad heart, so you'll occasionally hear him coughing and choking. And he likes to complain a lot in general, but he's an older guy. We'll just have to deal with it. All right, the next question comes from Zach. Do you think the elite are Satanists? Are they pushing their satanic agenda on the sheep via TV and music? I spend a lot of time talking about this, and I think the short answer is absolutely. The problem here is when we say Satanists, what are we talking about? And to get into that in great detail is a whole other show. But I'll give an example. I'll tie this idea directly to popular music. Let me choose a song here. How about American Pie? There's a good piece of iconic American music. If we look at the song, there's a couple verses that flat out show the correlation to the royal families, the ruling class. Let me see if I can remember it. There's a verse that goes something to the effect, when the jester sang for the king and queen in a jacket he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. Sorry, that's a bit broken up. I should have looked it up before I started to quote it. But what we're looking at is when the jester sang for the king and queen. They're telling you flat out. If you go further into that song, and this is in so many songs we could break down in this way, but here, let me look it up real quick. Okay, here we go. So here's another verse that kind of shows what we're talking about. The use of the word Jack, Blackjack, Jack Black, the actor. These are all encodings of this kind of satanic view. There's verses in this song, and here's one. So come on, Jack, be nimble, Jack, be quick. Jack Flash sat on a candlestick. Remember Jumping Jack Flash from the Rolling Stones. 'Cause fire is the devil's only friend. What this song is talking about is the day the music died, right? Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper. Oh, and as I watched him on the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight the day the music died. They're telling you what the death of Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper here were. They were sacrificial rites. And although I maintain nobody died, nobody was hurt in any way, it is a sacrificial rite around death that is being done. And here in this song, they're saying flat out that it was Satan's spell and Satan was laughing with delight. The problem becomes, what actually is Satan? What are we actually talking about here? And maybe in a future show we can go further into that. But there is no doubt that there's a very kind of black magic-y, dark, very dark thing going on in all popular television, movies, and TV, and it is all absolutely correlatable to the ruling class, to include the royal families, which is flat out stated in the verse of this song that goes, "When the jester sang for the king and queen, in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me." If you look at the words and the music you love in a new way and quit believing you understand what it means, and look at what the words can mean, I think you'll walk away with a different view of things. All right. The next question is posted by blank. Hackers seem to hack everything. Why do you think that hackers have come forward with pictures of rituals or other indemnifying material of the elite individuals? Okay, let me see if I can... This is written kind of... let's see... With how loose Hillary was with her security, I have to believe that there is a treasure trove of damning pictures, video, correspondence that are bound to be picked up by someone. I mean, recently the SWIFT system was breached with hackers, actually stole the bank's money. Impressive indeed. Okay, so I think I understand what this question is about, but let me point out one thing here. If you look at these presidential elections and say, well, wait a minute, why is Hillary being so loose with her security? These are staged events. There is no difference between Hillary and Trump or any other presidential candidate you've ever seen. They were picked long ago to be chosen for the spot that they're going to occupy. And the idea that people are actually voting into them into office is laughable. At this point, anyone who really wants a glimpse into what our elections have become, take a look at where the votes are counted, all those electronic votes. And think about this. On the night of the election, they start predicting who's going to win long before the votes are counted, and they're rarely not right on the mark. How is this possible? Well, we do electronic voting. Last time I looked many years ago, I think the votes are all collected and sent to Tampa, Florida. And then I believe, well, at least back when I looked many years ago, those votes leave Tampa, Florida for a foreign country to be counted. And I think someone tried to nail down the corporation that was doing the counting, but they were jumping from country to country as people got close to identify them. And again, it's been a long time since I looked at this, but you've got to get away from any idea that what you're seeing about the election on TV matters at all. It does not. It is a scripted play. In terms of the other hacking questions here, I'm not sure exactly what's being asked. Okay, moving on. Another one from blank. Not sure my original questions went through, so I will reiterate them here quickly. To what degree do you believe disinformation agents or agencies have penetrated alternative media and smaller outlets, blogs, YouTube channels? How do you discern them? What do you think the wave of Muslims invading Western Europe? Do you think the UK will be given a fair vote and leave the EU, or is it fixed in your opinion? The disinformation that we perceive is built into the system, to answer the first part of this. There is no way to use the social media and other things that are provided to us without dealing with the control mechanisms that have been put in place. This is exactly why I work to fund my own website. It doesn't make me 100% free of it, but it sure removes me one heck of a lot. The problem with using YouTube or any other social media outlet is you will have trolls if anything that matters is being said. Some of them will be professional trolls. Other people will be people who have been trained to respond because their worldview is being threatened. And then at the end of the day, the hit counts and everything else on social media are a farce. They mean nothing. It's been proven time and again. Your sub count, your hit count, any number of numbers provided by these social media outlets are a farce. And if you're talking about things that matter, there's a level of control that could be exerted even in just the way your hit count is reported. Okay, the second part of that was about Muslims invading Western Europe. Look, man, Muslims are people. They're human beings. And if you want to go around grouping human beings into one moniker called Muslims, you're doing humankind a disservice. I've met lots of people who are Islamic, who are Muslim, and they've been very kind. As a matter of fact, I've never met a one that I did not think was a great person. So if you fall for this media trap of being trained into referring as a large group of people by a moniker like Muslim or terrorist or anything else, you're being manipulated. The idea that Muslims are invading Western Europe, I can't even address. I'm not there. I can't learn from the media because the media doesn't tell the truth. So in short, unless I had a very good trusted friend who could tell me what they see on the ground, or unless I went there myself, it doesn't even deserve a cycle of my brain power. It has no bearing on my life. But the important thing to walk away with is here is these are human beings. They're not Muslims. They're not terrorists. They're not Islamists. None of that. They're human beings like you and I. They're raising children. They're trying to live in this world, same as you and I. Last thing is about the UK vote. And again, anything that comes through the media is there for a purpose. You cannot make valid judgment on information gained from media. Moving on. Abstone 77. What are your thoughts on what people can do to get to the bottom of the deception? Not just reading books, but maybe people with scopes that can work together, or a group of people that can put together a wiki-type database which can log and detail key events, time and details, in hopes of finding some type of pattern. So what you're asking about, I think, here is an important question. I have said a lot of times that I will never join a group because that centralizes what you're doing and makes it an easy target for those who would derail it. And it forces you, if you want to be part of that group, to adopt the beliefs that are acceptable to that group. In my view, individuals going out and doing what they can do to try to discover something and then presenting it out to the community openly is the way to operate here. The problem here with setting up a wiki-type database or anything else is the same problem with starting a group. If you hit on something that matters, it is a target now and can be easily derailed. So again, if individuals go out, use their telescopes or any other thing they're looking at or researching, present it to the public, the things that matter will hopefully stick to the wall and get legs. In using this method, it decentralizes it and makes it tougher for the troll community or an organized attack to derail what's being shown. All right. This one comes from Francesco. There's a number of them here. I'd like you to discuss, if it's possible, your views on the following topics. The nuclear hoax. Let's take these one at a time. In my view, nukes are, in fact, a hoax. And I will say this for the record. I was already on to the fact that I was not buying into nuclear energy or nuclear weapons. I had begun to break down the footage and the kind of propaganda that has been shown all these years. Back when nukes first came out and so much of this propaganda was prevalent, people did not really have a way to review it over and over. It came across the television or some other medium once. In this day and age, we can all go back and take these things apart word by word, frame by frame. As an example, I forget how long after the Fukushima hoax occurred that I saw this footage on YouTube. A Japanese man, I think wearing sandals and shorts, put a camera pointed at the supposed nuclear disaster Fukushima power plants all wrecked in the horizon. He put the camera, turned it on, and walked all the way down to where these supposed leaking nuclear reactors were all blown apart, and he walked all over the place. The clip, if I can remember, was like 10 or maybe 15 minutes. It's been a long time since I've seen it. And he walks back up to the camera in sandals and shorts and a t-shirt and shrugs his shoulder like, really? Really? And it was not long before that footage, I could not find it on YouTube anymore. But that's when I really began to look. And in the case of Fukushima, if you look, it's the historic area of Japan where the samurai, the kind of military arm of the feudal lords, were located. And even into the modern era, they would reenact what the samurai did with authentic, old, you know, armor, swords, all these things. That's what really got me looking at Fukushima. And what I think went on at Fukushima and Chernobyl was a land grab. If you fake a nuclear disaster, no one's going to go there, and you can do whatever the hell you want underground or who knows with that land. And what had set me off originally looking at the hoax that nukes are was when Anthony Bourdain took his film crew into Chernobyl. I was around in the 80s, and I remember when it happened, and I remember at the time we were told how long it would be before anyone could safely go back there. And yet here's Anthony Bourdain with his film crew moseying around Chernobyl with a little radiation badge on his shirt, and as long as they were out in, I don't know what it was, an hour or two, it was fine. They would be fine. These things are laughable. If you look at them carefully, you will see what's going on. Dinosaurs is another thing brought up by Francesco. I have not looked at this carefully, but I have every reason to believe that dinosaurs are also another falsehood designed to show that we could be gone in a minute just like the dinosaurs and to make us feel very vulnerable and small. You know, in the same way that space is described to us. You can't get your head around it. Whereas, if any of the recent research that people are doing on this world, how far away the sun and moon are, if any of that's correct, all of a sudden we can get our minds around that. We can get a solid idea of our place in this universe, for lack of a better world. And I think dinosaurs are just part of that. There's something about giants. I'm not going to comment on that now. Orgonite. I have used Orgon. And I have every reason to believe that it does have an effect on chemtrails. And I have every reason to believe that it is using positive energy to do that. For people who want to know more, go look up Orgon or Orgonite. Subatomic Particle Zoo. This is a good question. If we want to challenge this world, part of what we're going to end up having to challenge is the orbital model, where everything is spinning and everything is round. Particles follow this model. But here's the thing. When we were all in school, physics was supposed to be this thing that would work to become one elegant, simple equation that described everything. We were told when I was in high school that was the goal and that's where this was headed. Fast forward to the modern era and we see the exact opposite. We see theoretical people have taken over the field. You see it at CERN, which is why I say CERN is not telling you the truth. It's not doing what they say it is doing. These theorists are making up particles. They make up an equation, and to balance that equation, they invent another particle every other day, and we now have what's called the particle zoo. Not only is this a fantasy-based type science, it'll never go anywhere. Basically, I mean, just go look up the particle zoo if you want to get your head around what's going on here. And I view theoretical physics as an organized way from the top down to derail the entire kind of field of physics, although I will state there are a lot of physicists that are standing up and crying foul about this. All right, I'm going to move on to a new question here. There were a few more from Francesco, but I've got to try to get through all of this. This one is from Oxic. You have said many times that you do not believe the moon is a rock in space, and that this world has been misdescribed to us. What exactly would your best guess that the moon actually is? Without labeling yourself a flat earther, do you in fact believe our world is flat or a planet? What are your personal ideas of what this world we live in might be? This is a good question, and this is a question I've been very careful to answer because every time I have gone at what the moon is, it has created problems. When I used the word hologram, people latched onto that and went after the, you know, what technology it would take to implement a hologram. So I ditched that and started calling it a facade. Then people decided that a facade covers something, so there must be something behind a facade. What I currently say is the moon is not a rock in space. It generates its own light. That's what I have come to say, and that is stated in part of this question. The problem with saying more is I don't have enough evidence or language to describe what I think is going on. But I will say this. In my view, the moon is not a rock in space. It could be called a light because it is generating its own light, in my view. And it is a lot closer than we have been told. A lot of people have problems with this because they've used the standard geometry that we've been handed down through time to demonstrate that, in fact, the NASA roughly quarter of a million miles distant moon fits that kind of mathematic approach. But I maintain, I don't think the sun or the moon is anywhere near the distances we've been told, and I can go into that more and may do an episode in the future on that. the flat earth portion of this question. I will never identify myself with the flat earth movement for reasons I've already kind of mentioned. I'm not going to inherit the beliefs that have formed around this organization, and I am very leery of any organization that's been around 200 years or whatever it's been, because in my feeling is, if anything's correct about this, that movement was put in place so that it could be infiltrated to derail discussion and kill big, reasonable ideas. So you're asking me what I think it is. Is it flat or is it a planet? I will state here for the first time now that I think the best description of this world we live on is to take the word planet and remove the T on the end of it. I will further state that this appears to be a closed system, and this is another reason that led me to state that nukes are a hoax. We're in a closed system here, and nobody in their right mind who has to live in this closed system would ever pop a nuke. You know, you can figure that out on your own. So there it is. Let's move on. This next question was posted by T. I think there is a dimension at play around us with non-human life that we cannot see. Have you anything on this? No, I don't. I don't have any evidence to talk about this, and I have stated many times that it is very hard to believe that human beings are the only game in town, but the problem here is that I've never filmed, seen, or witnessed, or been aware of anything tangible that will let me address this. Sorry. Also, from what I can tell, whoever is on top running this is off the charts smart. Smart is not even the word to describe what is in place here. What have you learned? I say this a lot too. It's almost hard to imagine that human beings are designing some of the deceptive systems we see, and I have attributed it to probably human beings who have not been subject to the chemicals, bad food, polluted water, and all the other things that the majority of us consume. And not only that, they've always had access to the good information and maybe much further down the kind of, and I hate to use this word, evolutionary scale than the rest of us, because they have worked towards ascending the ladder. And even that is the wrong word, because in my view, they're not ascending anything, they're descending something. But that does not remove the fact that what we see is almost like supercomputer mind-blowing intelligent. All right, I'm going to move on to the next question here. Chris Marino, do you think the sun and moon are revolving around us under the firmament, if there is one? This is a tough question to go at, because to make statements about it, we need evidence. And while we do have some evidence, I have stated many times, the sun and moon are not the distance from our world that we have been told. I have stated that it is likely space is water or liquid. Knowing this, the idea that the moon and sun are revolving around anything begins to disintegrate if you follow this line of reasoning that I have laid down. Having said that, we need to do more work, and I need to get more evidence to intelligently go at that much further. All right, the next one. Rhonda or Matthias, could you explain your ideas about space being water? I think it was about a year after I filmed the lunar wave in 2012 and began to realize what the footage meant that I began to consider this idea. And even before that, long before that, having studied religious texts, Christianity, Buddhism, other religious texts, that everyone's aware that the statement is made that there's a firmament above our head that separates water from water. What finally led me to believe that space is water was not only the lunar wave footage, not only my defocusing and overfocusing of lights in the sky that gives us the liquid pattern in the defocus image we can get, but the study of ancillary things that have nothing to do with telescope work, namely what is presented to us in media, movies, language, books, like the book Dune. I am rereading the entire series of Dune because of the incredible subtext in that whole series that is absolutely encoding our reality, not some imagined place called Dune, but our reality. It tells you quite a bit. The main key that led me to do the announcement was when I had finally seen so much language that I couldn't ignore it anymore. And actually, let me get a browser window up here, and I will refer to the Kennedy speech. I just went back to the speech that John F. Kennedy made on September 12th, of course, 1962. I wonder if somewhere in the world it was September 11. September 11 is never far from the major events and lies that shape our history. He starts one of the paragraphs by saying this about the, we call it the moon speech, I guess. We set sail on this new sea because there is new knowledge to be gained and new rights to be won. Rights to be won. If you go back and look at that JFK speech and take it word by word, line by line, you will see what is going on. It's a complete spell. As a matter of fact, if you go on YouTube and look at the video, I think he says we're going to the moon three times to start casting the spell. And it's funny the way it's done because you don't notice. Like if someone came up to you and said, we're going to the moon, we're going to the moon, we're going to the moon, you'd say, that's funny. They just said that to me three times. JFK does that in the speech, but it's kind of put together in a way where it doesn't stick out so obviously. But you can't get away from language, and language has meaning. We set sail on this new sea because there is new knowledge to be gained and new rights to be won. Go back and look at that speech. Anyhow, moving on. Chris Marino again. Let's see here. How about the Planet by the Sun that people are filming? Do you believe or interested at all about this? I recently posted footage that shows the ghost image or the reflected image of the sun or whatever that is. I have not yet determined what it is near the sun. I think it's likely a reflection off what I call the hard, fast boundary between us and space. Some people call it the firmament. Flat Earth likes to call it a dome. I think that's what I'm looking at this point. I don't believe that's what I'm looking at, so I have more work to do, and it's not easy to always get good footage of this. Every time I'm able and every time I've looked, I've seen it there. Go to my channel. You'll see the footage I've posted. All right. The next question is from Legion Cult. Let's see. I want you to talk about the new Cokes. We've just addressed that. What do you think about those cubes around the sun? I don't think anything about the cubes around the sun. Here's the problem. People come to me all the time with footage provided by NASA of, let's say, the planet Mars, proving that there's something being lied about on the planet. You've got to understand, all that imagery is coming from space agencies, which means it's worthless. To gain any valid knowledge other than the fact that they're lying to us, it's worthless. All of it. It's a construct. So I can't address cubes around the sun until some private person takes images of them. I assume that's what you're talking about. He talks about Vice did a miniseries doc. I'm not familiar with what Vice is. If that's a TV show, as a matter of fact, I guess I remembered that Bill Maher was going to launch a show called Vice. If that's what you're referring to, again, Bill Maher launched that show. It's media. It's worthless for valid information. Okay. He talks a little bit about chemtrails. We'll keep moving on. Next question comes from Knock Knock. Hey, buddy, what is your take on all this deception? Do you feel a reset is coming because of all the waking up, or do you think this version has a chance to win? If we look back at... Well, let me come at this a different way. Rewind the clock and go to YouTube and look at George Bush the Senior's uttering for the first time in world media the statement New World Order. If I remember correctly, that was done on September the 11th. Of course, because September the 11th is encoded in everything and is never far from world-changing events. Go back and look at that speech from Bush the Senior where he says New World Order. Matter of fact, look up how many times it's been said by presidents. When we look that he said that for the first time on September the 11th, and then we fast forward to the hoax event that was what we call September 11th now, you can see the game that's being played. But it takes some serious balls to be doing this in public if you don't think you're going to win. So in my estimation, there is every opportunity for these people to gain a level of control that will be very difficult to get out from under. Maybe it's already in place. I would point out, if you want to stand up against what we're talking about here, the only thing you need to do is change your mind. The problem here is that a lot of people need to change their mind. So much of this system of deception is done through coercion and by opt-in situations that are created where you actually have the power not to opt in, not to believe, not to buy into any of this, not to waste brain cycles believing it or talking about it. None of that. So, I mean, I guess I don't know what else I can say about that. We have an opportunity to stand up by changing our minds. Doesn't take an army or a gun. There it is. Next question comes to us from Shaw's 1777. I have just been listening to you for years and also promote your links on my Hattie Bob sites. I have developed, on my Hattie Bob sites, which I have developed, which you have mentioned in an interview with James Alfred. My question is this: what do you think about the underground civilization theories? If there are underground civilizations, do you think they're in communication with secret groups in our society, such as the Freemasons or other secretive groups at the upper levels? Can you elaborate on any of these theories? I'm sorry, I can't. I don't know a thing about underground civilizations. I'm sorry. I'm not qualified to comment on that. Willard Duke submits, what is your opinion regarding nuclear weapons? We have covered that. No, they do not exist in my view, and neither does nuclear energy. And as a matter of fact, the whole construct of particles with orbits needs to be questioned in light of what we're doing with the world we live on that follows the same model. All right, the next question comes from Gemini68. Have you just become a member this week, having previously listened to the other interviews you have done? Oh, sorry. I have just become a member this week, having listened to the previous interviews you have done and been fascinated by the lunar wave. Could you elaborate a bit more on the fake murders such as Manson, Simpson? Do the deaths actually happen, or do you think the whole thing is faked? Okay. No, nobody is dying and nobody is getting hurt. And if you've listened to me earlier, you heard me reference the sacrificial rite where Satan was laughing with delight. These people are, it's a staged sacrifice, but so many people believe it that our mind drives reality. Mentalism, our mentality drives reality. So when these fake events where no one is being killed are put out to the world and so many people actually think a death is occurring, I guess that's enough for the sacrificial rite to work. That's why I say stop believing in these things. O.J. Simpson, you pointed it out rightly. Total hoax. As a matter of fact, at what point in our history does a courtroom become popular entertainment? At what point is a courtroom's purpose to entertain the world with a murder? Really? I mean, that should tell us all something right there. And I'm glad you caught on to the fact that Charles Manson is nothing else but more hoax. So, well, I'll save that for later. Good question, Gemini68. Let's keep moving. Tony Ivy submits, love your work, Crow. Today is Sunday. I live in, I guess that's New York City, NC, and would like you to talk about chemtrails here on the East Coast. Keep moving. Chemtrails are unbelievably huge deal on both the East and West Coasts. And while I've traveled all over this country in the recent couple of years, I mean all over it, coast to coast a couple times, I see the big cities getting it the hardest and I see the coasts really getting pummeled. It's hard for me to talk about chemtrails because I'm convinced that chemtrails are probably doing any number of things. 25 things, 50 things all at once, I don't know. Not only that, there are clearly many different kinds of chemtrails that we see. We know for a fact there's three heavy metals at least that are common in a lot of lab reports. We know for a fact that it blocks a lot of sunlight. We know for a fact it's probably connected to weather manipulation. The problem is, for me intelligently to go beyond that, I would be doing nothing more than speculating. We all need to get out and film these jokers as much as we can and post the footage and try to learn more. There it is. All right. The next submission comes from AdRock3000. Yo, Crow, can you elaborate on why you think space may be water or liquid? What is up with the second sun at sunrise? What do you speculate about a possible reflection referred to? Okay. Let's take the first part. I've already kind of addressed the space water thing. Okay, so he's talking about what people are seeing at sunrise and sunset, where they're calling it a second sun. Some people are calling it Nibiru, which I don't accept for a second. There is no planet Nibiru in my view. I think this could also relate to the chemtrail question. We see in so many places that the sunrise and sunsets are blocked by chemtrailing. I suspect that they may be blocking something we can now detect. Why we couldn't detect it earlier, I don't know. At any rate, at sunrise and sundown are key times to film, because in my mind, there is little doubt that the reason we see the sun blotted out at these times is because they're hiding something. It could also be that sunlight is more beneficial at these times of day, and they are blocking it. But that's about as far as I can go there. There is no doubt that they are blocking sunrise and sunsets. I see it all the time. I've filmed many thousands of hours of it. All right, the next question comes from Spiritual Warrior. The Earth is flat. Can you please state what the logical extrapolation of this is? If the true meaning... Hold on. You cannot create a flat Earth through random actions and scientific principles. It just cannot happen. Ergo, the Earth was created by some entity. Simple logical extrapolation. Same thing with reincarnation from empirical studies by Dr. Stevenson at the Astral Plane Travel Center. As documented by Robert Monroe, I've heard of the Monroe Center. They do some very interesting things, and he's talking about out-of-body and near-death experience, cardiac patients. The human soul is a higher dimensional energy and limits of space and time. Look, man, I'm just not qualified. This is a big reason why I will never join the Flat Earth. If anything that comes out of the group of researchers that are in that field is true, and I believe there will be a lot of things that come out of that research that are true, the big question is really, or the big discovery is really not that we're not living on a spinning ball. The big discovery, in my view, is how the hell did this happen? Who put this here? For a lot of religious folks, the answer will be immediately that God did it. For people like me, that doesn't quite cover it. Just saying God did it isn't good enough. I want to know how we got here, when we got here, how this place came to be. And just stating that some all-knowing deity did this, for me, is not enough. So I know I didn't answer a bunch of that, but the fact is I'm just not qualified. I've never had an out-of-body experience or a near-death experience. I have studied it quite a bit, but I'm sorry, I'm not qualified to go there. Okay, posted by Neil. Do you consider the moon to be an illusion? And if so, does it have a far side? That's a tough question to answer. I guess I can say this. It does not have a far side in the way we've been shown. I don't believe it's a ball. It is not a rock. And anything you can see one side of does have to have another side. I mean, that goes without saying. What's behind what we can see, I just don't know. And I do consider the moon to be an illusion, but not because it's not there. The illusion is that most of us believe it's a rock spinning in orbit around this world. That's not what I accept. And that is where the illusion that I talk about comes in. All right. The next question comes from Energy. Are there any authors or ancient books you can think of, even and including, or that even have an inkling of value for us non-bloodline spiritually aware people? Or has it all been hidden? We still live in a time where there's printed books, which means there are writings around that have avoided the modern edit to some degree, if you can find things that have not been hit by the modern edit. This is getting more difficult all the time, and as we move into the digital era, anything delivered to you digitally was automatically should be suspect for having been changed in some way, because it is a very easy thing to do. The flip side of that is if you can get your hand on old books, they are put together for a different time. And what I have found about old books is there's a lot you can learn from them. I'm not sure that I can point you to specific books. I think what is best to do is put your intention out there that you want to learn and then go seek. And in your path, you will find things that were probably meant for you to find. That's how I view it, if you're truly seeking. I will say there are books out there like The Devil's Pulpit, like The Kabbalion, like all these other things that have all these things that can tell us so much. In The Devil's Pulpit, there's three chapters on Freemasonry written in the 1800s by a guy who was trained by the Vatican and then decided the Vatican had lied to him about everything. Very interesting reading. The Kabbalion, the problem with that is it's all that writing is a tribute to a guy named Thoth who's supposed to be an ancient Egypt. The problem with that is well, what Napoleon said, if there was a man named Napoleon. History is a lie agreed upon. So while there is interesting information in these things, you can still see how they're attached in some way to things that are possibly just part of the overall deception. Very difficult question to go at. All right, the next question comes from Space Monkey. Tell us more about the cube on Saturn and how it is applied to daily life. You know what? I guess I can't go at this. I have looked at it, but not enough to consider myself qualified to comment in any way that matters. Maybe I will go at this in a future show and try to get someone on board who is more qualified than I am. I apologize. Okay, the next question comes from Klanderman. Hi, Crow. Have you read any of the new chronology stuff by Anatoly Fomenko? I have not. And so let's see, let me go on. If so, ancient history is... Okay, so look, I haven't read the Fomenko stuff. I've heard of it, and actually I think I actually did read a little of it, but truly I have not read it to any satisfactory degree. I agree with what your question implies here. Absolutely, our history has been tampered with. I've said in many interviews that the only reality about history we can get, for some of us who are lucky enough to have a great-grandparent still around, we can look back to a very small portion of history to that great-grandparent. Most of us are lucky to be able to see a very narrow sliver of history through maybe a grandparent or a parent. I am not convinced that we may have just shown up here in the last 100 or 200 years, maybe, when the true history starts. I don't know. But what I do know is that history is, in fact, a lie agreed upon. And I'm going to take a short break here, and then we will move on. All right, our next question comes from Molly. What is your baseline for truth? Do you use ancient writings, experience, etc.? Can we be deceived by experiences? There's actually a lot here from Molly, so let me take this little by little. My baseline for truth, I mean, I'm not sure I would state it that way, but what you're asking, my baseline is this. I've spent many years now trying to teach myself how to learn like a human being. In my view, the system of deception does everything it can to keep the society very animalistic. That's what the sex that we're inundated with on television and just all of it, the media, keeps you in a very low kind of animal state of mind where I'm hungry, I want to eat, I want a new car, I want to have sex, these very kind of animal urges that are not very high-minded. To get back to what you're asking, my baseline is this. I've mentioned it a couple times, but if you can stop believing everything that is thrown at you, over a period of time, the way you learn changes to be what I consider a more human way to learn. I don't have a good way to describe it. It's a bit like osmosis in a way. Maybe you could liken it to the ring of truth. If some of you are parents out there, when you hear a child tell a lie, it just doesn't have that ring of truth. Well, how do you describe that you knew that you learned to be able to do that? It's just a sense, you know, like an extra sense that you have. When you stop believing the programming and just everything that is thrown at you by this kind of backwards, upside-down world, you begin to get a new sense where you may not be able to know all the things you want to know, but you sure as heck get that kind of ring of truth experience where you see something and it's almost like smelling it. You hear just a couple syllables or you see just a little bit of video and you instantly know it's not true. That is my baseline. Molly also asks about sleep, dreams, nightmares, the loss of short-term memories, ley lines, all kinds of things. But I think The two biggest things I hear asking is there's a question in here being concerned with whether you can lose your soul. In my view, free will is everything. Everything that I see in this system is designed to get you to make a decision that's not good for you or for everyone else, which to me means if there was any idea that your soul could be lost in some way, it would be a decision that you make, not something that someone else does to you. But I'm not saying that you can't be fooled into doing bad things, because so much of this system is sneaky and underhanded. And a lot of times you'll see people making decisions where they probably didn't even really understand that they were making a decision in the first place. The last part of this question is about RFID chips, whether those little sleeves you put in your wallet can stop them. Sure, you could have like a Faraday cage device that prevented it from being scanned, but it doesn't remove the fact that there's a chip in your card. So every time you use it, data is going to be collected. There's really no way around that unless you don't use the card. All right, the next question comes from Tommy. What do you think of the No Disinfo website? They are anti-Jewry. They seem pretty accurate. I like your work. I'm not familiar with that site. I'm sorry, so I can't comment. Sorry, Tommy. The next question comes from Energy. Let's see here. Since what is above our head is the system, what are you looking up there? Why are you looking up there in the long run? I am grateful that you're looking, to be clear. It's pretty simple. The reason that I look through my telescope in film is because we basically have a couple choices. If we want to know what's above our head, we can take someone else's word for it, or we can try to observe for ourselves. What I have done is decided that I can't trust what I'm told by many sources anymore. Maybe not all of them, but the vast majority of things that I have been told in my life, when I went and looked for myself, I found problems. So I hope that answers your question. I look up and I observe the sky in film because I want firsthand observation. Okay, the next question comes from T. I would like to hear about what will be the most effective in getting us all knowledgeable and out of this mess. Do you have any insights about the levels of knowledge and how to apply them to our daily lives? Says it's been 2 years since he found my channel. The most effective thing people can do is to observe things for themselves. And as I've said so many times in this one show alone, stop believing all the things that are put in front of you. It doesn't hurt anybody to just simply not accept anything at all until you have a good reason to do it. And as I've stated many, many times in this show alone, if you do this over an extended period of time, the way you think and learn will change to be what I consider a more human way to learn than the kind of animal way that we're all taught to memorize things now, and that passes for learning. Okay, the next question comes from Terry Crane. I would like to know what books you're currently reading, what books you would recommend because you learned from them or enjoyed them. As I mentioned, right now I'm rereading the Dune series, which is actually pretty unlike me because I don't read things like that often. But I came to understand that if you're going to publish a bestseller, it has to be in the system, because the people who own the gates to allow a bestseller to be published and happen, they own those gateways. And Dune was the first book that was sci-fi or so-called sci-fi that made the bestsellers list, opening the door for, you know, all the other books that have done that since. But what I found now that I understand so much more than I did when I was younger when I read that book is that the subtext in that book is beyond belief in really describing the ruling class and the systems of control and how a world is governed. So I hope that kind of addresses it. I know it's not going to be very satisfying because I understand you're probably asking me for ancient texts and things like that, but I will state again, the best thing a person can do is put the intention out that they want to learn, that they want to seek, and then go seek. And something will be in your path if you do that. Okay. Next question comes from Alan Cronin. Does some of the latest things we have awoken to shoot holes in the precession of the equinox? And what is connected to what the ancients call the Great Year, which is approximately 26,000 year cycle. You know, this is a good question. And so what we're beginning to learn really makes us question everything. I mean, take astrology as an example. If the whole model of a solar system changes and it's not round things spinning in an orbit, what does that do to astrology? For my money, things like astrology or the precession of the equinoxes, and I know that the Kali Yugas were encoded in the very, very old Indian teachings and that part of the world, which I think there's a lot to be learned from a lot of that. But it changes how they're described to us. But nonetheless, there's no way, in my view, that that much effort is, you know, spent to put a system in place. It must be encoding something of value. I'm just not sure how to answer that any better. Sorry, Alan. Oh, Alan's got another one. Next question is from Alan Cronin, and he says, Emmanuel Velikovsky books claim we're about 800 years off relative to the mainstream history timeline. Meaning, for example, the Roman Empire is 800 years closer to 2016. So that would explain such long period of dark in the Middle Ages where nothing happened. This ties into the question asked in the comments earlier about Anatoly Fomenko, the Russian historian. I am familiar with Velikovsky and actually referenced some of his work when I was talking about a possible time with no moon. And so I will state here, so many people had a problem with the biblical quotations I used because they said they weren't right. Truth is, they came from Velikovsky using older versions and maybe not such mainstream versions of the biblical text that I used. I agree 100% that our history is jacked up. I don't know how it is jacked up, to what extent it is jacked up, but it seems pretty clear. I mean, are we laying on a table somewhere, you know, like a kind of matrixy reality, or is it simply that we've had a new reality implemented maybe 100 or 200 years ago? I just don't know, but it is clear, crystal clear, that the history we've been handed is a lie, for lack of a better word. And not to mention that one of the ways it was easy to detect this lie, once I began to learn more like a human being, is that what we see are the same handful of stories told over and over, where it's almost like the same actor is playing multiple roles and just putting on a different costume and saying different words. So I hope I addressed that halfway. So here we go. Next question is from Soria. With the presumption that the stars and planets are not physical, that we cannot land on them with a spaceship, and the Earth is flat, why do you think that the planets and moon seem to be round? Why this illusion? Even the moons of planets, like Jupiter, seem to be round. That's a great question, and I don't know. If in fact we have been lied to, and the entire solar system that we think we are seeing when we look up are no more reality than the moon that I have questioned, it would almost lead me to consider that what we are seeing is meant to fit the lie we're being told. And then that opens up a whole other can of worms about how did things get to be where they are. And I just can't answer that. Moving on. The next question comes from Faye. Any further information and insights you have on chemtrails would be great. I can tell you that they seem to be getting worse. Here in Rhode Island, it is a very rare, rare day when the sky is blue with no clouds and these jokers don't start up. Unfortunately, since I moved here in the winter time and it has taken forever for spring to even get close to feeling like summertime, I haven't been able to film very much, but I can assure you, I will be all over these jokers when I can see the sky on a regular basis. I'm sorry, I can't say more. Next question comes from Allie with two eyes. Would love to hear your comments on the financial debt system, how this system plays out in our manipulated world. Also, I have been told often that I obsessed over chemplanes. I try to explain that it is not an obsession, it just exemplifies evidence of something going big is going on and being hidden in plain sight. Could you address the massive scope of this issue? Okay, I already have addressed chemtrails to the degree that I think I can. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but we just all really need to film them as much as we can and post that. She goes on to talk about how much planning and the mind-boggling coordination it would take to pull it off, and there's no doubt about that. I can say that it seems pretty clear a lot of these chem planes come from Air Force bases, and for a long time we were filming these planes with no markings whatsoever on them. Although over time that has changed, and as the first question in the series brought up, there is some research out there showing that FedEx planes and other planes have been refitted, so we are not seeing totally white planes with no numbers anymore. Sometimes we'll see colored undersides. Sometimes now we even see commercial airliners leaving trails behind them. That brings us back to the first part of this, where she talks about the financial debt system. The thing about the financial debt system is most people, for the United States anyhow, don't understand that the Federal Reserve is not federal at all. It's just more families, these ruling class families that started a central banking system. And again, they're part of the Jewish religion. The thing about our debt system is, as you're mentioning in this question, when money is made, it's made out of thin air. There is no gold or anything else backing our monetary system in the U.S. anymore. Once upon a time, when we passed money, there was actually valuable gold backing it. Now what we pass is worthless paper that has no value, but we all fake and pretend that it does. What's worse is the people inventing the money basically sit down at a computer, tap some keys, invent money out of thin air, and then loan it at interest. So from the very creation of that money, debt is incurred, which means the idea that we will ever, you know, you see on the news, oh, there's so much debt, we've got to get our hands around this debt. It's laughable. The system is designed on debt. So I guess I can't, these things I'm stating are obvious, but I guess I will add, I feel that one of the reasons the Islamic states are under such heavy attack, because I don't buy into terrorism or any of that nonsense, is partially because they cannot be controlled in the same way we can without a central banking system. And parts of Islam still have, by law, I believe, the requirement that their money is backed by a valuable gold or silver. And not only that, I believe that in Islamic law, some parts of it still state that usury cannot be done against people. For those who don't know, usury, when I was a kid, the definition of usury was charging interest of more than, I think it was 4% when I was young, on any loan. Well, as you're all aware, in the United States now, there are credit cards out there that charge close to 30% interest. That's usury. So these things are major players in controlling the society here in the United States. And in parts of Islam, that's just, they can't do it to them yet. But I'm sure they will work hard to dismantle all that so they can exert the similar controls that we see here. All right, the next question comes from Valdis. I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher this. Bieloskas. Love your work, Crow. I was just thinking about what you have said with no one goes above low Earth orbit, and yet we see objects flying and transiting the moon, suggesting it is far beyond what we consider low Earth orbit. I would suggest to you that that may not be the case. If we consider that we are told low Earth orbit is in the neighborhood of 100 miles, by the way, try to look that up. You'll get a lot of different numbers. Consider filming something like I have filmed with a camera and a telescope, something at 100 miles, which is smaller than a car. Just consider that. So I guess I would suggest to you that maybe these things are a lot closer than we think they are. Anyhow, moving on. What do you think about... what do you think about that? I just answered it. Also, regarding satellites, even though I believe satellites are part of the deception and the construct, as a ham radio guy, I watched my colleagues many times making contacts through regular amateur satellites, tracking them with directional antennas, so something would have to be flying and able to transmit those signals. What I have said is satellites do not exist in the way they've been described, which is to say, the idea that there is a satellite 22,000 miles out in geosynchronous orbit is just a lie in my view. There could well be things flying away around up there, but are they in orbit? I'm not sure I accept that they are. Are they hundreds of miles away from us? I'm not sure that I accept that they are. And if you go back to where I made that video rebutting the article that the Huffington Post ran on some of the objects I filmed with their FBI expert and their MUFON expert, you will see that I went to the scope shop and calculated what the physical distance of a pixel is at certain distances from me. And you'll see that if any of these things I filmed were at those distances, they'd be four, five, six times the size of the International Space Station, or the size that we were told that is, because I don't accept that's a real thing either. So, moving on. The next question comes from DB Shadow. With all the hoaxes and disinformation out there, is there anything that you wholeheartedly believe? Yes, there is something that I wholeheartedly believe after I've told everybody to stop believing. What I believe is that a human being has the ability to learn in a much higher level than we've been allowed to know. Most of learning that we have been taught in school is simple memorization and regurgitation with the occasional formula we can work out to supposedly learn something. I believe that human beings, as a matter of fact, I don't just believe it, I'm experiencing it myself because I've been working at it for many years now. It's like another sense that you can get to detect truth and falsehood. So there it is. I believe that, and not only do I believe it, I have begun to experience it. All right, another question from Tommy. Crow, great work. In the flat Earth, does the sun move faster below the equator to make up the larger diameter of a 24-hour day? I'm not really sure. I try to work on my own observations, so I guess I'm not sure what the flat Earth model says about that. Next question comes from Sue China. Crow, thanks for all you do. If matter is an illusion and we're all just spirits spending some time in a 3D reality, does anything really matter? You know, it's a heck of a question. I mean, is that why this system of deception tries to convince us that all these non-real things matter because they really don't? I think in a way that answers your question. But moving through the rest of your question, I feel abused by the elite who treat us as annoying peasants, and I sense the good and evil. Do matter and evil, I'm not sure what that was supposed to say, in matter somehow? I sense the good and evil do matter. I'm not sure what you were getting at there, Sue. In my book, good and evil do matter. In my book, being honest does matter. In my book, the intention that is in your heart matters above all things. In my book, doing something underhanded or sneaky to someone is one of the lowest forms of action you can take. So I'm not sure exactly what you were getting at, but yes, these things do matter. And conducting yourself in an above board manner is very important in my view. Next question comes from Budsy. Hi, Crow. Love all the space questions, but enjoyed the talk of those who are in control. Have you any thoughts about the EU and about the UK referendum on leaving or staying? Is the whole thing a false flag giving us a sense of power? Look, man, if it came from the media, it's already a twisted idea to start with, in my view. I'm not sure exactly what's behind the referendum you're talking about because I ignore the news with every fiber of my being. But I will say this, if the news is national or worldwide in any way, it is taking pains to try to put an idea out in the minds of the world. And that on the face of it tells me to ignore it, run away, plug your ears. So there it is. Next question comes to us from Off Grid. Crow, could you touch on CERN, Earth grid ley lines, celestial alignments? How do these tie into portal openings? Also see a possible connection with the firmament and the lunar wave. I believe the elite are trying to open a portal in the firmament and let something in, or possibly bring the veil down completely. I have looked at the idea that these things in the sky that started with the supposed spiral in Norway, I believe it was, which I, you know, I had no way to confirm whether that was actually a real piece of footage, but it's happened a few times. And the last time it happened off the coast of Southern California. And my wife and Greg Carlwood at Hireside Chats both witnessed it and described it as spiral-like, or having an opening and a kind of throat where it looked like you could go into it. I'm not sure how to answer this, but I can tell you that in so much media, portals are everywhere. It's in the Marvel movies. It's in the kids' Lego stuff. It's in Stargate from as far back as, was that the 80s or 90s, the movie Stargate? It's everywhere. And in that movie, of course, the portal opens and it looks like water, liquid. So I think there is something to it, but I just don't have enough there to give my answer much oomph. But it's absolutely something worth looking at. In terms of celestial alignments and these other things, not sure how to answer that yet, because I'm not sure what I'm looking at yet when I look up at the night sky. Next question comes from Ernie. I would like to hear more on why you believe there is no nuclear weapons, and what about nuclear energy? I've already answered that a number of times in this show alone, but Ernie, I will state this also. Funny thing. I had been away from Rhode Island for quite a while, and when I come back, they put up a new power plant, and it has two of those big concrete domes that look almost the same as the supposed San Onofre nuclear domes in San Diego, yet we're told it's just coal doing that. And I thought it was pretty ironic, because you can almost, if someone saw that and was not told what it is, they'd say, oh, that's a nuclear power plant, but it's not. But I have already addressed nukes pretty well, I think. I would invite you to go back and look at all the nuclear explosions frame by frame. Remove all the belief from your mind and just take it and challenge it and see what you see. Next question comes from Haji. I was wondering what you think of chemtrails. Are they really heavy metals? Yes, they really are. Are they really changing the air and environment? I would say yes, they probably are. It does appear so. There are so many speculations on their purpose, from weather manipulation to the transhuman agenda, population control, hiding what's happening in the sky, human frequency tampering, Project Bluebeam, and more. Maybe all of the above. I was thinking I would take a rain and soil sample and have it tested, but I realized that someone's probably already done this. Look, you covered a lot. You understand probably as much as anybody right now, with few exceptions. And I would urge you, yeah, man, get out there and take samples if that's within your power, and post what you find. Stand up. Do that thing. Get out there, Haji. Take the samples. Moving on. Jazz Sinclair. He has, let's see here, three questions. It seems to me that with time-lapse footage, the stars all cross at the same rate, regardless of distance. Now, this is a hell of a good point. There have been many artists that have gone at this and, you know, used the old perspective thing from art that says things further away from us should be moving more slowly. Same thing with satellite footage. When we're told the ISS is looking down, the clouds on the horizon, the gap between them should open and move more quickly as it gets closer to us. Yet this isn't what we see. It's the same idea. I would point out that the people who first began to recognize this fact that you state claim that that means that we're looking at a 2D plane. Okay, moving on. Example, 13 million miles, light year distance versus only 10 light years, and yet they all move at the same rate. This is a huge problem, but on the flip side of that, I've seen people whip out math that state that from our point of view, we're limited and that we can't see the rate change between stars for this reason. Personally, I don't buy it. I'm much more satisfied with the artistic application of the rules of perspective that we're used to. Question number two from Jazz Sinclair. Do you think maybe chemtrails are helping to chroma key the sky for an upcoming projected spectacle? Sure, I think something could be projected on that, and I've actually seen video of what seemed to be tests in that direction. I don't think you meant chroma key, though. Chroma key is used when you punch backgrounds out of an object over like a green screen. But I think there's absolutely the potential for using it as a projection surface. Particularly, think about way up there when they've shot so much stuff that it probably stays up in the ionosphere for God knows how long. Anyhow, moving on to your third question. When using full spectrum and seeing what appears to be a lunar reflection, Are you able to make out any details of the reflection? No, I don't even need to finish the rest of that question. I've done it twice where I've used the full spectrum camera and gone quite a distance from the moon, always to the left. Same with the sun when I've seen its reflection to the left. And I find a big bright spot in the sky. It is not, it has no shape. It's just like a blob of light that's kind of elongated, level to the horizon, elongated. I hope that answers your question. I want to go at that again, though the only times I've been able to do it is when the moon is full or near full. Next question is posted by Stagehand13. Hey there, not sure if my comment went through, but anyways, I want people to know that this GatorHost server that I'm using sometimes is so damn slow. When you reset passwords, give it 15 or 20 minutes. And I'm not kidding. These jokers, sometimes it takes that long. And I think the same thing is going on with comments. And I apologize for that, but it's out of my control. Anyhow, to move on with Stagehand 13, I was going to see if you thought the song It's a Small World After All was telling us they had discovered the true size of the Earth. It was released by the biggest Disney song ever around the same time as Bird's Expedition. I was also curious if we could find a whistleblower on the new audio effects programming of within dubstep. I can't even go on there. I'm not familiar with any of that. Look, man, to get back to It's a Small World, there's absolutely a small world of information encoded in all that. I would also point out that having grown up in Southern California from the time I was a kid until I was an adult old enough to know better, I went to Disney a lot of times, even with my school when I was in junior high. If I remember correctly, It's a Small World is still operating. I might be wrong by now, but back not too long ago was the smallest unchanged part of the park still in operation, which tells you something on the face of it. But when we look at challenging this world, one thing that has always bothered me, you know, we're saying, is it a plane? Is it flat? Is it round? Is it spinning? We're challenging this to try to discover what is the true description of this place. It has always bothered me that the possibility remains that there is actually a landmass that we know nothing about, maybe a whole nother continent. And I think the key to this is in Antarctica. Anyone who's not familiar with Antarctica, go look up the Antarctica Treaty, the 47 or however many nations that are basically patrolling it and allowing no one to go there. And of course, the royal family always shows up there for a photo op. In my view, it's key what's going on in Antarctica. The Flat Earth Movement will tell you that Antarctica is actually the ice wall all the way around all the other continents. But whether or not that's the case, I would suggest that anyone who begins to delve into Antarctica and knows how to learn as a human being learns will find a lot going on there. And to close, Stagehand 13, I think it's quite possible that encoded in It's a Small World After All is the veiled reality that there is a massive landmass that we know nothing about. Anyhow, Panhead submitted, nukes, hoax or real? Nukes, in my view, are a hoax. Gray Ray submits, hello, Crow. What do you think about the Mandela effect? You know, this is a heck of a question because I've actually had it happen to me. I was making a clip on a NASA launch that I made a clip on remembering the date they said they were going to do it, that they had did it. And then I went to look it up and everything I expected to see was gone or changed. I talked with my wife and another person in the community I'm in. And they all remembered what I remembered, and yet there was no record of it happening. It was almost as if history had been changed behind us. The Mandela effect is a strange, strange thing, and I've always considered that maybe it's a way to cover up huge mistakes by the system of deception. Moving on, Maple Syrup submits. One, what eclipses the moon? That's a good damn question, man. I set out on the last lunar eclipse, or actually solar eclipse, where we are told the moon is going in front of the sun to film the moon approaching the limb of the sun. We are told the sun's 93 million miles or whatever it is, so that if that was true, the moon would be very well backlit. I used my full spectrum camera and my very good Nikon with a telephoto and a filter, and I could not detect the moon until it broke the limb of the sun. And that, in my mind, is very problematic. That, in my mind, means that there's no physical object doing it, probably. What is the black sun? You know, I'm not sure about that, to be honest. Two, above the rise of the about the rise of the pyramids, please, Crow. Geez, I'm not sure what you're asking there, Maple Syrup. I'm sorry. Number three, how far do you think astronomers in the observation center can bring the stars and moon in with those massive telescopes? I think what you're asking is how much can they be magnified? With a scope the size of mine, I think I can approach, I haven't looked it up in a long time, but I think theoretically I can approach 500 times magnification. My scope is just over 11 inches. So if you go online, you can look up what the magnification possibilities are for a scope. And what it comes down to is aperture size. So if a scope is 27 feet wide, you can look up how many times it should be able to magnify an object. Moving on. Mejia submits, hello, I was watching a movie clip on how sand is really what is causing the climate change. This is because they now have to get... Okay, I'm going to stop right there. In my view, there is no climate change in the way it's been described. While the climate may be changing, in my view, global warming is just another made-up thing to scare us and manipulate us in any number of ways. As an example, I've been coming to this place that I'm living now since I was a child in summers. There is a beach within walking distance. At high tide, the water down at the beach I go to at moon high tide, when the moon is full and it coincides with a high tide, so it will be the highest tides of the year, it almost reaches a chain link fence. In all this time, it has never gone any higher. So how in the hell can all this ice and the polar caps be melting? They keep talking about global cities worldwide that are on the coast going underwater. Yet down in my little beach, which is connected to every other ocean in this world, there has been no discernible rise. And as a matter of fact, the water hasn't even reached that chain link fence in years now. So I'm going to just stop right there. Climate change is BS in my view. Although it is quite possible there is some cyclical thing going on, or who knows. Or for that matter, with chemtrails and all the things we know about weather, maybe the statement that weather is no longer forecast but scheduled is true. And if that is the case, then global warming is really a crime, because they're causing it on purpose with their chemtrailing and all the other things they do. Moving on. Smithy2311 asks, hi, I would love to know your thoughts about what happens after death and the soul and past lives. You know what? This is a big question, and I'm not qualified to tell people anything they should believe, because this is an important thing. Everybody has to decide what they're going to do when they die. And one thing that got me really going was how much effort the Vatican took to put men in black dresses at everyone's deathbed to get them to swear allegiance to their brand of religion. When I was a lot younger, that got me thinking. What I will say is this. It's pretty clear to me that death is just a door we all go through. The idea that we should be afraid of it is ludicrous in my mind, and it's just another layer of fear that's been laid on us all down here to control us. I would submit, we are so manipulated in this lifetime that I question whether just because I die that stops. As a matter of fact, I am fully prepared to be screwed with when I die and start to cross over. Having said this, when I die, I will disavow allegiance to anything other than my own divine rights as a man, and I will ask that my divine rights are honored and that I'm not coerced in death. Don't know if this guarantees anything. I will work on this problem till the day that I have to face it. I am not afraid of death in any way, shape, or form. I assume I've been through it many times, and I assume that human beings don't end anything at death. They just go through another stage of things. That's the best I can do. All right, we're around to the final question, which was submitted by Linda. Something I've been wondering about for a while is that if people don't actually die, for example, I don't believe Prince really died, do you have any information on where they go? You know, this, I'm going to stop right there and get the rest here in a minute. This is a hell of a good question. And in one of the shows I just did with Dave J, I asked him a similar thing because for many years he's been saying these people aren't dying. His reaction was that these people, usually at a young age, are given fame and stardom, given it. And what that means is they're going to have all these things very few people have. His take was that at some point they have to give stardom back because it doesn't belong to them. And I thought, you know, that's a hell of an idea. The idea that stardom is conferred on certain people, which I believe it is. Matter of fact, I believe they're special people, certain bloodlines for the most part. So this fame and fortune is conferred on them, and then the idea that at some point they have to give it back. And when they give it back, it's used to manipulate society, to bring the fear of death in, to bring heartbreak because someone we loved is now gone. Where they go, I'm not sure. But there was a film that I saw many, many years ago that I have been searching for. I believe it's British. I believe it's black and white. That talks about famous people faking their deaths, going underground to this city, literally underground to this city where everything they want is at their beck and call for 2 years until people forget about them and then they emerge under a new persona. If anyone knows what this movie is, please clue me in. Let me keep going with Linda's question. I believe they fake their deaths. I'm not really curious about how they could continue to live and where they would go. She is really curious, so I think I just addressed that. I came across a website recently, can't remember at the moment which one, where they were saying JFK became Jimmy Carter. Let me stop you right there. I believe that's Dallas Goldbug you're referring to. And while some of his early work seemed to really be pointing out some incredible things, I will point out to you, that man made a video saying that I was the star of King of Queens. So that should tell you about how legitimate things are of what's going on over there. I wish I was getting paid like the King of Queens guy. I wouldn't be poor all the time, but it's ludicrous. And when I contacted him and challenged him saying, if I'm the King of Queens, meet me and tape you proving that that's true. He not only didn't accept, it was this weird retort. And it almost felt like there was no one person behind all that, to be honest with you. So while I think that what was initially going on there was pointing in a direction that really shows something, I think it's pretty clear what's happened to that outlet since. It's not what it seems. Anyhow, that brings us to the end of all the questions. And I think if I had to do this again, where we submit questions from subs, I think I would have another person come do it with me where they could read the questions and hold me tightly to the answers. It's kind of very difficult to do this all by myself, and I wasn't expecting it to be this difficult. Having said that, if people are into this and we want to do it again at some time in the future, I'll get someone else to come moderate through, and I think that'll help on a few levels. But anyhow, I got just a ton of questions, almost 150 of them. And the funny thing is, so many of them, I tried to weed them out so that duplicated questions weren't listed in the things I read. And even though some got through, I want to thank you all for submitting and participating. Anyhow, I hope to get Brian Mullen really soon. He has agreed to come on. For those of you who don't know, he's a mechanical engineer, very smart man, who has also said it's quite possible space is water, and he demonstrates it using good old science. So very interesting. I also have some other things on the horizon, including the Lunar Wave Roundtable. And anyhow, that's it for episode 9. So there it is, man. Cheers.